It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Bob Powell. A Glenville State College professor set out to turn his experiences working in a mental asylum into a novel.
I kept a record of everything that happened every day with the patients, with the professionals, about the building, with the idea I'd eventually write a novel. And I ended up with 70 pages of little vignettes.
Wow.
Hear more about that book in just a minute. Good morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. Sunny skies and warm. Late afternoon thunderstorms are possible. I'll have a complete weather forecast later on. In his novel, 2 Days at the Asylum, author Frederick Walborn takes readers into Weston State Hospital, a mental asylum in north-central West Virginia in 1969. Walborn is a psychology professor at Glenville State College who hopes his book offers insight into the current state of mental health care. Eric Douglas sat down with him to discuss the book.
First, tell me about your book.
Yeah, it's called 2 Days at the Asylum. And even though I worked most of my time when I worked as a clinical psychologist doing outpatient work, I worked for a year and a half doing inpatient at an old asylum that was built in 1854. And I worked there for a year and a half, and that was the inspiration for the novel.
What era are we talking about? What years are we talking about?
Did I work there?
Yeah.
It would have been around, give or take, 2002, 2003.
But your book is set significantly earlier than that. Your book set, what, 68, 69, I think?
1969.
Why did you decide to jump back 30 years?
There's a couple reasons, but the main reason, it gives me more flexibility, so I can make the characters a little more outlandish. The reason for the title, 2 Days at the Asylum, supposedly at the one I was working at in the 1960s, they still did open houses. So for a small fee, community people could come in and look at the patients.
Right.
And so day one of this novel, taking place in 1969, are the people visiting the asylum and all the crazy things they see, the sexual, religious themed, all that manipulation, power plays. Then day two is when the novel really kicks in, because that's when the doors are closed to the public, and then the reader gets to see what kind of crazy things the professionals are doing, the psychiatrists, psychologists, nurses, social workers, and their sexual, religious-themed, bizarre behaviors.
What was your goal when you decided to write the book?
That's an excellent question, because the goal was just to tell a story, because I've written 2 nonfiction books. And I've wanted to write this for over a decade, this novel about an asylum, because when I worked there, the last month I kept a record of everything that happened every day with the patients, with the professionals, about the building, with the idea I'd eventually write a novel. And I ended up with 70 pages of little vignettes.
Wow. 70 pages of notes from 1 month.
Yeah. And it was just a different environment, and I thought that in and of itself would sell a novel. So that was the original intent. But during the process of it, the book accidentally ended up with a message.
And what is that message?
The message, because it goes through the history of asylums in it, and why we built them, and then why they fell apart, and but it ends with, the problem was they started closing those things in the 1940s, but really significantly in the 60s and on. And the problem with that is where did the people go? And so one third of our street people have a severe mental disorder.
What would you like to see? What would be your vision or your dream for mental health care in America?
Particularly for the persistently and chronically mentally ill, what I would like to see happen is for them to have adequate housing and effective therapeutic services. We just aren't providing good therapeutic services. We give them a pill and wish them the best. And the problem is 30 to 40% of the people don't respond to medication. And what's really fascinating is when I went to go work at the asylum, there was a lot of psychotic people, and I didn't really want to work there because I thought, you don't need me. You just need to take a pill, and that's it. And once I worked there, I realized you can make connection with those people, because the number one reason people change in psychotherapy is the relationship. And that's a whole nother show. But once you make a certain type of a relationship with these folks, you can see their eyes frequently look dead. And it's not because they're over-medicated. It's part of their symptoms. But once you make contact with them, their eyes change and they look alive. One of the quirky things about the novel, because you always get a lot of religious themes with people who are psychotic.
Interesting.
Always. Whereas in the 1960s, you get a lot of space themes. So it's just like with people who are psychotic, and you ever heard of the old cartoons or stuff, and people would wear Reynolds wrap hats so the Martians couldn't steal their thoughts? So space stuff was really popular as far as delusions back in the 60s, but religion is always popular. And the most common figure I saw when I was at this psychiatric unit was Jesus. We saw lots of people who thought they were Jesus. And so the million-dollar question is, what happens when you get two Jesuses on the same unit? You have to read the book to find out.
So what do you want people to take away from the book when they're done reading?
That we need to do something. And so I included an epilogue with some of that history in the epilogue, and then 10% of the proceeds are going to the APA, American Psychological Association's visionary grant, where they're doing research in mental health issues. And I ask the reader to also donate $10 to that. And I give the address, email address, and places where they could donate money.
That was Frederick Walborn, a psychology professor at Glenville State College, speaking with Eric Douglas about his book, 2 Days at the Asylum. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with us at with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus come from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Bob Powell.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Little Passports, a monthly subscription service for kids. Each package includes games, souvenirs, and activities from a new country designed to spark curiosity in cultures around the globe at littlepassports.com/radio. From Charles Schwab, Schwab believes a modern approach to wealth management starts with asking questions. Charles Schwab, own your tomorrow. Learn more at schwab.com. And from the Annie E. Casey Foundation.